song. All this dope I stepped on. Real, get the rest gone. Been that nigga, what else you want? Power, powder, respect.
Hey, what is up, everyone? This is Gary A. Swaby, and you're now listening to or watching The Powercast. And today we're going to be recapping Power Book 4, Season 2, Episode 7. And the title of this episode was Chicago is Heating Up. I can't believe we're on Episode 7 already. That's crazy. It's going by so fast. But as usual, today I'm joined by Mr. Richard Bailey Jr., a.k.a. One Stop Shop Jefe. How's it going, Rich?
What's up, Gary? What's up, listeners and viewers? Yeah, my name is pretty much the mindset of Miguel, because Tommy sells him on this idea that he could be a one-stop shop. So we'll see what happens with that.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely selling him dreams. It's just a good thing that Miguel didn't walk in that other room at the start of the show, you know, because things would have got bad. But yeah, I'm also joined by Miss Dana Abercrombie, a.k.a. the Avengers of Distribution. How are you doing, Dana?
I'm doing wonderful. We got the Rainbow Coalition. We're working together. We got the Avengers of Distribution. You know, Tony Stark is there. Captain America, Miss Marvel. We're ready to go.
Oh yeah, Shanti was definitely Miss Marvel in this one. So
I think she might have been Iron Man at this point. I don't know.
Oh yeah, she's trying to be Iron Man. She's coming for the crown for sure.
She's trying to be Thanos.
Oh yeah, yeah, Thanos.
Collecting all these infinities, rule them all.
Yeah, she's getting
she got her jewelry, the rings. And she got her jewelry back. She got her stone back.
Yeah.
Thanos.
So she's almost there. But yeah, so this was a, you know, we're going to have some interesting things to say about this episode, I'm sure, today. But, you know, before we get into our takeaways, big shouts to all of the people, you know, for leaving comments on the previous episode and everything. We see that more and more people are getting engaged every week. You know, we're seeing some names come back into the mix, like Inga. It's always good to get her input on things. So yeah, we appreciate the love and the support every week. And, you know, we urge all of you, if you enjoy the show, if you have something to say about the Power episode, or if you want to respond to something that, you know, we say, definitely leave your comments and let us know what you think, because your thoughts are valuable too. You know, even the people on Spotify, because I see someone, you know, left a Spotify comment. They didn't really like the episode of Power much. And they were like, oh, what are you watching? You know, I don't know what you guys are watching. But yeah, all comments are welcome. All comments are welcome, good or bad. So please do leave your comments. And yeah, hit the like button also. That's very important for our growth. So please do support the show by hitting the like button, and then also subscribe to the channel, because we do have a lot of other content down the pipeline. And we're talking about ways that we can, you know, ways that we can continue to cover Power, you know, outside of its regular rotation and stuff. So, you know, we're looking into these things at the moment. So please do support the channel, because that helps, you know, it helps validate our time, the time we spend doing this and stuff. So, I won't delay too much. We'll get right into our takeaways now. And this week, it is actually my turn to go first. So I will jump right into that. Okay, so this episode shows that Tommy's takeover of Chicago, which was his main kind of mission at the end of the previous season, you know, it shows that his takeover of Chicago is finally coming into effect a little bit. Like he's making some ground with this mission now, because he's unifying a lot of the gangs and forming this coalition you know, or the Avengers, as Dana puts it, you know. But you know, what's good to see is that there are a lot of conflicts. There's a lot of baggage, and there's a lot of conflicts within this coalition that is going to make things very challenging to keep it together. So, you know, I like that they're showing these things, because obviously, you know, you have Shanti, you have Janard, you have Vic, you have Miguel, all these characters who have like their own motives of what they want to do and stuff. So, and then of course, you know, Tommy is also messing with Maria. So that is going to be a point of conflict later on down the line, because you know, they're actually getting their drugs supplied by Miguel at the moment and the cartel. So, you know, of course, this is probably going to be a problem later on down the line. So if Tommy does want to make, if he wants to be successful in this expansion, he has to smooth out some of these problems that he is having. And at the moment, he seems super confident in his abilities. He's even confident in his relationship with Maria, because whenever she tries to, you know, speak on her concerns about them being together and about Miguel, you know, snapping on Tommy when he finds out, Tommy's like super laid back. Like he doesn't think it's a problem at all. Like he doesn't see any conflict of interest. Like this is to say, like he'll literally tell her, oh, it's not a problem, you know, I can handle myself. And then 5 minutes later, he's going to buy some drugs from Miguel or something. Like he doesn't see any problem with that at all. Like, so this guy is like, you know, it's like he's, I don't know, he's putting the noose around his own neck a little bit in that respect. But I guess in his mind, maybe he sees it like, at some point, I'm planning to get rid of Miguel anyway, or I want him out the way, so that he's not a problem anyway, because we know that, you know, when he talks to Diamond, his plan is to be so successful with getting the territories and the gangs together that Miguel has no choice but to keep him alive and like work with him, I guess. So I think he's just super confident in the fact that the coalition is going to work, and that he is able to look out for himself and defend himself if anything happens. But yeah, I just like that they are planting some seeds for this coalition to kind of fall apart and for there to be some internal conflict, because you can't bring that many people together without there being some baggage and some issues to deal with. So we see that there are, you know, different issues going on. Tommy actually, he went to one of the other gangs, which is a Puerto Rican gang. And this guy was, you know, bad-mouthing Miguel. So we see that could be a problem, especially because this guy was dealing with the Serbs before as well. So that might cause some friction now that Tommy's kind of snatched up a gang that the Serbs used to deal with and stuff. So yeah. I do like that they're showing all these different gangs and the different tension within them. I think they're doing a good job with that. So the second takeaway kind of revolves around Shanti, which is a piece of that puzzle also. So in this episode, we see Shanti really making some power moves. Now, it was very interesting to see this, because in the early parts of this season, Shanti was more of like a background character a little bit. Like we didn't see that much from her. But then, you know, ever since what happened in the last episode, where she kind of, you know, she gave Janard this speech about, you know, he needs to take over from Tommy, you know, and all that stuff. We're starting to see her blossom a little bit, her character. And we see that in this episode, she goes to see Claudia, because obviously she was there when Janard spoke to Claudia previously in that other episode. So she heard all of the details of what Claudia is trying to do. So she went to go speak to her one-on-one, woman to woman, and they actually struck a 50-50 deal to work together. You know, one of them will supply pills, the other will handle distribution. And we actually see the results of this. You know, they set up a party. And at this party, Claudia and her girlfriend are robbed. And Shanti actually deals with the problem. You know, she gets her jewelry back. And, you know, she beats up that guy and stuff because she is a trained fighter, so she can handle herself. So that kind of gained Claudia's trust, I guess. But we do see later that the girlfriend kind of wants Claudia to herself also. So that is going to be a kind of an interesting thing because the girlfriend was like, screw Claudia, you know, let's do this together or whatever, you know. So that's going to be interesting. But I kind of feel like at this moment, Claudia needs Shanti because although we know Claudia is very cunning, you know, she has the wits, she has the smarts to kind of be a boss, but she doesn't have like the physicality. She doesn't have the threatening nature, you know, to kind of carry herself. So I feel like Shanti kind of completes what she is lacking. So I think these two could be a very powerful team together that could, you know, they could even later on break out on their own and create their own faction with, you know, maybe Jannard is part of that too. Maybe he's not, I don't know, but they could really, you know, threaten what Tommy has by, you know, breaking away and creating their own kind of alliance at some point. But yeah, it was just interesting to see Shanti just kind of become like a major player, a major character in the show all of a sudden. Because, you know, when the character was introduced, it, you know, she was interesting. Like she was immediately interesting because it's like, oh, she's a boxer, you know, she seems strong, she's very supportive of Jannard, you know, she boosts up his character. So she was an interesting character, but it's like we didn't see her do much at first, and now all of a sudden she's like, you know, she's taking up a lot of screen time, and it's like, you know, it's kind of cool to see like that. Sometimes the characters you think aren't, you know, going to be a big deal in the show end up blossoming and becoming a big part of the show. So I really want to see what they do with this character and how far they take things, because we see that she doesn't like Tommy at the moment. At the moment, she's playing ball with Tommy. Because, you know, Tommy did come around to the gym. And let me just read this. Okay. Yeah, so Tommy did come around to the gym. And they met in person and everything. And she, you know, she gave him gave him what she owed him and stuff like that. So, but she, you know, clearly she doesn't like this guy. And she's just playing along for the moment. And she's being very deceptive in how she does things because she didn't initially tell Jannard what she was doing until later on. She shows him the money, and, you know, she presents it as, you know, this could be something just for us. You know, this is outside of what we're doing with CBI. And then also she's kind of calling shots with Jannard, you know, almost like she's kind of she's kind of in control now of the relationship, I guess. You know, with the drug thing happening and stuff, and Jannard showing that weakness, Shanti is kind of now calling the shots a little bit. And we see that, you know, Jannard has the photo of Tommy and Maria together, but Shanti tells him not to do anything with it yet. You know, let Tommy, you know, destroy himself, you know, let him hurt himself. Kind of. So that was interesting to see also, because that's something they could immediately use against Tommy to bring him down, kind of. But she told him to sit on it. So I'm wondering if she has another plan. I wonder if she has a greater plan in the works, you know. But yeah, so that's a second takeaway, something that stood out. And final takeaway, you know, my takeaways are very short for this episode. But final takeaway. So, you know, we see in this episode, Vic is playing Tommy very close. And of course, it's for a reason, because he has to kind of get dirt on him and, you know, help Stacy get what she needs from the investigation and everything. And then we see that there's what's his name, Rich, that cop, the cop that was following. I know Rich got all the names.
Vargas.
Yeah. So Vargas was following, you know, Tommy and Vic around the whole day. And he was kind of forcing Vic to meet up with him at certain points. And Vic was, you know, a bit nervous about doing that. And then he gives him a wiretap as well, you know, in the chain or wherever. He gives him a wire to wear to record Tommy and everything. And Tommy actually sees this guy following them early on. He sees the car tailing them. And then, you know, of course, at the end of the episode, when Tommy drives off, you know, he leaves Vic, he drops Vic off and then he drives off. But then when he passes the building, he sees the car that the dude was driving. And then, you know, when Vic goes to talk to Vargas, Tommy rolls up and sees them, you know, engaged in conversation. And immediately Tommy does what he's supposed to do at that moment and puts the gun in Vic's hand and says, okay, if you're not here to snitch, prove it. And we see what happens. Vic, you know, takes out Vargas, kills him without much hesitation, mind you, you know, just kills him right there. And so now Vic has done, you know, the unthinkable. He's done the one thing that you're really not supposed to do, because it's going to bring so much heat. And, you know, he's been offering to work with Stacy and the task force, but now he's killed one of their own. To me, it seems like there's no coming back. And this is what I want to say about, you know, this, because although it is a pretty interesting plot point, you know, to happen, given the tension of Vic, you know, becoming a snitch and everything and a criminal informant, there is no coming back from this now. So they have to go all the way with this, because this is a detective who got killed, you know, on the job. And to me, like, if you've seen other crime shows, you'll know that the cops take this very seriously. Like, if one of their own gets hit, they're going to throw all of their money into getting whoever did it. So you can't, you know, we have to see a warpath next week. Like, we have to see the cops on a warpath. Like, they have to be, like, really, really getting gully on the streets and locking people up and, you know, slapping people around, you know, throwing people in jail. Like, they have to be, like, going crazy, because this isn't the first cop that's died this season, too. That, like, the other dude, Seamus, he got killed. Now, he wasn't a detective, I don't think. He was like in a different division or whatever. But if a cop just suddenly goes missing, you know, because I know Diamond got rid of the body, if a cop just happens to go missing, they're going to eventually look for the guy. So, you know, they haven't shown any of that. You know, they haven't shown any of the repercussions of, you know, DMAC killing a cop. Like, you can't just keep killing cops in the show and nothing happens. Like, somebody is going to be investigating this, you know, somebody is going to be asking questions and, you know, coming around. So I know sometimes people get, you know, lost in the TV thing, like, oh, it's just a TV show, it's just entertainment and all that stuff. But if it's not, you know, if it's not realistic enough, if it gets to the point where it defies logic, in my opinion, it gets a bit hard to watch, you know, just in my opinion. So I do hope that they're going to show some repercussions to this action, because this is a big deal, you know, Vic killing this guy, killing Vargas. So I want to see what is the consequence of that, you know, what happens now. Like, is Vic going to get locked up? Is the investigation going to get thrown out? You know, what is going to happen? What's the consequences? Because I do believe that somebody has to pay for that murder, you know, at some point. So, yeah, that's what I'll say. And the reason I say that as well is because, you know, and I want to make it clear that I do enjoy Power. I do enjoy watching the show. It is very entertaining. You know, I'm not saying I don't like Power or anything like that, you know, because I know people are going to come at me. People are going to say certain things. I do enjoy Power very much. But in this episode, what I didn't like is how convenient and how slapstick the writing felt. Like, it just felt very, I don't know how to explain it, really. It just felt a little immature at times, a little too quick, like things were happening too quick. It felt very slapstick and forced. I came up with like an analogy, but I can't remember at the moment. But yeah, it just feels like, I don't know, it's like they're doing show, don't tell. Like, you know, we always talk about show, don't tell, where we want you to show things. And they do show things, but sometimes it's very on the nose how they do it. Like, it's very direct and on the nose, and there's no subtlety to it. There's no tact. There's no, like, you know, there's no intelligence to it. Like, it just, stuff just happens, and it's like, oh, okay. So that happened now. You know, it's just, I don't know. It's sometimes things just happen with no buildup in this show, and things move so fast, and it just kind of throws off the pacing a bit for me. So, you know, that's my critique just for this episode. You know, I'm not saying the whole show or the whole season is bad, but just this one, it just felt very off to me. So that's my critique of this episode. But you know, there was good and bad. I want to make that clear. There was some things that I enjoyed. Like I said, I like how they're showing that Tommy is making headway with his goal of taking over the map. You know, they did that. I like how they're kind of elevating Shanti's character, you know, so there's that. But yeah, I don't know, just certain things in the episode just felt off to me. That's all. But still, you know, show the season has been entertaining. I have been enjoying it, you know, for the most part. And I'm very curious to see where they take it next, because there's only 3 more episodes left. So, you know, can't wait to see what happens next. But those are my takeaways for this episode. And I'm very curious now to hear what Mr. Richard Bailey Jr. has to say, because we haven't talked about this episode a whole lot prior to this show. So I really want to hear what he has to say. So when you're ready, Rich.
First and foremost, excellent takeaways, Gary, as always. And I'm looking forward to hearing what Dana has to say as well. But let me just go ahead and say this right now. I have a lot of respect for you, Gary, because that was a very, I want to say a little bit of a polite, there was some critique in what you said. But I'm going to tell everybody right now, I'm going to be a little bit harsh about my takeaways, because there's a couple of things I didn't like in this episode. Now, I want to start by saying it was an entertaining episode, as always. But there's certain stuff I didn't like, didn't really make sense to me why they would do that. So I'll get into that. But let's start with the first takeaway. Let's talk about the Flynns in this episode. Of course, we had the whole storyline of Vic being forced to wear a wire. That's what Stacey wanted to do, because she's trying to get as much information she can about Tommy to try to stop him. I understand that. At the same time, you know, Shanti is now working with Claudia so that she can basically, you know, take advantage of her business on the side. And of course, as you already alluded to, Gary, we do have the girlfriend that pretty much told Claudia at the end of this episode that she basically wants them to work together and cut Shanti out. So I'm curious to see where they're going with that particular storyline. We also have the fact that Vic did wear the wire, and he went to the meetup with, I believe it's the Division Street Devils. That's the name of the group. So they went to that meetup with Tommy. We know Diamond could not make it there. I will get into that a little bit later. But pretty much, you know, Vic basically does go. He records the information, and then they have that run-in with Agent Vargas at the end of the episode where he shoots Agent Vargas. So what I will say is this, first and foremost, I actually was okay with what they did with Vic in this episode because it makes me very curious to see what happens next. I also was okay with the DOJ chewing out Stacy earlier in this episode, basically calling out the task force. And in my opinion, they should be renamed the Trash Force, because from the start of this show, we saw that they were people of action. From the first few episodes, we saw, oh, this won't end the same way as the police have been handled on the other power shows. Then all of a sudden, the last couple episodes, it's just Stacy chewing out Vic. I need you to do this, do that, so on and so forth. So very lazy, in my opinion. And I agree 1,000% with what Gary said. In the next episode, there needs to be something that they do to assert their dominance. Now, obviously, we can probably guess that Agent Vargas, his body is going to be hidden somewhere, similar to what happened with Seamus. So the cop will be missing. But the thing is, Stacy knows that Vargas was with Vic. So Vic is in a very tough situation, I would think, from here on out. And that's why I said, let's see where things go. But I think this task force is a joke. So I want to see what they plan to do now after all the stuff that's happened. It seems like they're just sitting on their hands trying to get as much intel from Vic, and it's going absolutely nowhere. So let's find out what happens, okay? Stay tuned for that. The second takeaway, let's get to Tommy and Miguel in this episode. Now, at the very start of the episode, we saw that Tommy and Maria almost got caught by Miguel. And now, of course, now she's worried again that something's going to happen to Tommy. Okay, so first and foremost, I want to ask this question. Maybe the people in the comments can answer this question. How the hell did Miguel know where Tommy lives at? It's kind of like, I understand by the end of the episode, when they do that new deal with Miguel, he obviously is putting his neck on the line because he's talking with Shay and he has to deal with them. So I kind of feel like at some point there should have been a line that Miguel said, because he knew that Tommy or had something to do with what happened with the Serbs, whatever. If he says, if I suspect that you're doing something, I'm always going to be watching you 24/7. That line was needed just to emphasize that he could show up at any time. Because as you said, Gary, Tommy is very nonchalant about this thing with Maria. He's not worried about Miguel finding out none of that stuff. But yet you saw him panicking in this episode when the guy randomly shows up to his door. So that's why I said, I feel like they need to fix that. It doesn't make any kind of sense. And obviously, the grandmother that Miguel talks to in this episode, she keeps telling him, hey, Tommy, you need to watch this guy. You don't know what his ulterior motives are. And of course, Miguel is getting played, because when Tommy and them do meet with the Division Street Devils, they pretty much agreed to work with him. Now, prior to that, you saw that Miguel had a conversation with his grandma talking about he was going to meet with them. So now the next episode is going to be very interesting, because obviously, as Diamonds did say to Tommy in this episode, you know, once we go after this gang, Miguel is going to suspect that we're coming for his spot. So Miguel should know that by the next episode. And I'm very curious to see which direction they go with that entire storyline. But overall, you know, I do want to say I am interested to see where they're going with Tommy and Miguel working together. Because at some point, Miguel is going to find out that Tommy has double-crossed him, and I want to see what his actions are going to be. Also, the fact that you had that conversation between Che and Merkovich, now, I thought that was a very entertaining conversation between these two guys, because as I have already said on this show, Merkovich should already be dead. This character better be dead by the end of the season. I don't want to see his smug face anymore on this show. So let's see what happens. Yeah. Because clearly, now that they have cut off the supply for the Serbs, there's going to be some type of retaliation. And I thought at that moment they were going to try to do something to Che, but obviously they didn't. So let's stay tuned and see where they're going with that. And now my final takeaway for this episode. We need to talk about Diamond and Gennard in this episode. And this is by far, in my opinion, now obviously I already said a couple things I didn't like about this episode, but this particular issue is something that I didn't like with the episode. So obviously, we have the whole thing of Diamond that has to do this speech at the fundraiser. I'm okay with that. And of course, he basically does get with Leon's mom, Gianna, I'm okay with that because they told us that that was going to happen. What I did not like is the fact that they have Jannard working on the corners. Once again, Diamond knows that Jannard was using. Shanti knows that Jannard was using. So to me, this tells me that Diamond is a horrible leader, because how are you going to have your brother out there on the streets where he can easily get access to the drugs at any point in time? And you saw in this episode, they had a scene where Jannard is looking at his arms, obviously probably thinking about the previous episode when the guy said, hey, you know, you can just use a needle. Your veins are great. Probably thinking about he's going to use again. And then later in this episode, when he sees the guy out on the street, the guy asks, hey, what do you want? And he just shrugs him off saying, no, he's not going to do anything. Obviously, this is a teaser to let you know eventually he is going to go back to using again. So stay tuned for that. But I just kind of feel like, you know, Jannard obviously is not going to have it. His story is going downhill. The one good thing that we did see in this episode, and I give full credit to Gary Swaby because he predicted this, was that Jannard was going to find out that Tommy was messing around with Maria. And the reaction that Chris Lofton's character had was hilarious. How he's talking to himself about, yeah, you a fool for this, Tommy. That was hilarious. So I give him credit for that. That was awesome. But obviously, in my opinion, where I think they're going to take this, if I had to make a guess, Tommy doesn't know that Jannard is using. And I kind of feel like at some point, Tommy will find this information out and he will use that against Jannard. So he could be the one that basically gets Jannard hooked again. The same way Tommy gave Kate drugs earlier this season. This could be the guy that pretty much introduces this into the fold because he knows that that's what his weakness is. So I would definitely tell you all to stay tuned for that. Let's see what happens. But as for Diamond in this episode, Diamond is preoccupied. You know, obviously he has all the stuff going on with the speech. He does get with Gianna. By the way, I did not like how that went down about the whole date situation where he asked her out on a date and then they have that throwaway line. Oh yeah, I haven't been in a couple with this guy for a while, but yet you're still living with this guy. And in the previous episode, when the father, Leon's father showed up, it's kind of like, you know, it was completely, you know, Diamond was caught off guard. But the thing is this, Gianna knew that she still had a guy that she was with that lives in that house. Why the hell wouldn't you tell Diamond that information? So see, I did not like how that was handled, but it is what it is, right? Because everybody's going to look at it. Hey, she was being treated badly. So it's all good now. It's okay for her to mess around with Diamond. But as we've already said on this show, Diamond also has a relationship with the correctional officer. So that will come back and bite him in the behind. And we're going to see that now play out exactly as we predicted, because at some point she will find out. And again, you don't do that. You know, you don't mix business and pleasure. He's working with her on the business end and messing around with her. Now he's messing around with the other woman too. This won't end well. It's going to be very messy. But overall, that's all I had to say about this episode. I am glad there are only three episodes left in this season because I want to see where they go from here. There are a couple of interesting things that are happening with the characters. So that's what's keeping me watching. But certain stuff, like the stuff I mentioned in this episode, they got to make this a lot more clearer and clean this up in the future, I would say. That's just my opinion. I know everybody, there are a lot of people that love the show. They love Tommy. But I want to give a shout out to Inga71 because what she said is accurate. This is by far the weakest of the Power spinoffs. There's no doubt about that. Razor Kanan, better show, and Ghost, a better show. No doubt about it. But I will say this season is better than last season. So let's see where they go with the final three episodes, shall we? And that's pretty much it.
Yeah, excellent takeaways and observations, as always. And yeah, that, like, Jannard's reactions when he was taking the picture, like that's the stuff that I value, like with the acting, like the, cause that could have been improv right there. Like, I think the actor is doing a great job with the character. And he seems like he's having fun playing the character too. So, you know, cause we get that energy through the screen with Jannard, but yeah, great takeaways. I do have a lot of questions, you know, later on about some of these events that that could be happening with these characters and what might happen next. But let's hear from Dana first, you know, with her takeaways. So, Dana, when you're ready, hit us with your takeaways.
I have to address some things first because I was making the scrunchy faces when y'all were saying some things that was just, and it also because I have ADHD, so I have to address them now or else I'll forget. One thing here I wanted to say is the girl that that Diamond is sleeping with, who has Leon, the son. Yes, they were in a relationship, but they wasn't really in a relationship. That really didn't seem something out of commitment. She genuinely seemed like she was afraid of him, as was Leon. So I understand, and I understand that whole tactic and thread line. And she's looking at him like, oh, you seem to be like a man. You're interested in my son. You're nice to me. So here's some cookies and the milk. So that is why I didn't have any kind of issues with that. And that throwaway line was just to make us remember the fact that, you know, he didn't kill him. He left. I mean, he threatened his life. He said, leave now. And so that was just a line to make us remember. And the fact that she really didn't like, oh, my God, have you seen him? Where is he? It seems to me like this is his behavior. He'll stay and then disappear for long periods of time and then come back. So that's not really a relationship. So I had no issues with that. Another thing that I wanted to mention was the fact that Jannard, his drug usage is getting sloppy. It's different if, hey, I do drugs, maybe one or two people know. But when you're walking down the block and they're like, hey, Jannard, papi, I got that for you. You've been here before. Then we're starting to get a problem because everybody is knowing your business, and that is bad for business. Okay, that's like, oh, you got him. That's that old crackhead. You know, so that is what I'm more concerned about than anything else. But I did like the fact that we didn't see Jannard give into temptation. So yay, and he's improving. Or maybe he's actually doing things on the side what we don't know about. But he wasn't sitting there going, he wasn't smacking the lips and licking the lips and the teeth. So I think he was clean this episode. Maybe he went through his withdrawal and was good. And that's how we got the chain back. So yay for him. Another thing that I thought that was really interesting, what they did was the Puerto Rican. They had the Garcias, the Puerto Rican, and now it's the Puerto Rican. He couldn't stand Miguel because Miguel, remember, he's Mexican, and he thought that he was better than him because he's Mexican. And so the Puerto Ricans are like sick and tired of it. I just like that kind of rivalry, even though it's silly, but I like that rivalry within race groups. So you have that like tension within, so not everything is unified. That seems to be very, to me, natural and realistic than anything else. Another thing is you and Gary stated the whole situation involving Vic and the fact that the agent is dead. I actually don't have a problem with that, and I like that because I think it connects to an earlier scene where we had the DOJ, remember? The woman came down there. She was representing the DOJ, and she was explaining, you know, what's going on with this city. It's a hot mess. You have, you know, the kids, the projects are literally being blown up. People are dying, stray bullets everywhere. We have members. We've seen multiple drive-bys and shoot-up places when they shot up the diner, that situation. And now we have Stacey's trying to be like, no, I'm good. Everything's great. But then to have her own agent be murdered, I think will further anger the DOJ and that lady that she has to report to. And this is how we get the task force pulled. Remember, they're trying to do a RICO case. RICO is like the power thing. They love their RICOs. But this is how, remember, every season or so, we always get that RICO or somebody case, and they have to dodge the bullet. They have to dodge that case. I think this is how we dodge it. Where we have the city, you are so bad at doing your job. The city is running amok. People are dying. And now your own police officers are dying in terms of the agent. And Vic can easily get away with it by blaming everything on Tommy. So I think Vic is okay in terms of the cop being killed. He can say it was Tommy. Now, again, I don't remember or recall whether or not he had the wire with him when he confronted him in the alley. So either they can gather that information and be like, well, Vic told him to shoot him. Maybe that can go against him. Not Vic. Tommy told Vic to shoot the guy. So that could maybe go against him. But it could also work into his favor. This is still on Tommy. Look what Tommy did. Look what Tommy made him do. So either way, I think Vic is in the clear. But for me, overall, this episode, while it was okay, it was a standout for Vic. I have complained from day one, season one, all the ones, that Vic is a boy. And I'm tired of him just, okay, Da, okay, Claudia, okay, Gloria. This is when I think he's starting to stand up for himself. He's making the moves. Even though Stacy is the one that's the puppet at this moment, he's being left out into the wild where he has to think for himself. And I really like that. And I think this is how we get Vic to become a man. So for me, this episode worked for him, which then worked for me. So I don't have any issues with that. One of the things that they did give me that I kind of said that I wanted before was my all-females Avengers team. We do have Shanti. We do have Claudia coming up. On top of that, we also have Claudia's girlfriend. Now, right now, when everyone's not on the same accord, the girlfriend kind of wants to work separately and work only with Claudia. She's interested in the drug game. She's kind of like, ooh, I like this. She's being introduced. She's kind of like the baby Kanan right now at this moment. But you're giving me, and this could be a really great spinoff show idea, you're giving me my female Avengers where they're showing, you know, as Claudia said, we don't have penises. We have nothing to measure up here. 50-50. And everyone was okay with that. And there was less fighting. So I'm wondering if the one thing that we don't have from a power universe is an all-female-led power. We do have, what is it, Kanan's mother. But it's still the Kanan show. We're wait. You see what I mean? We're waiting for Kanan to become the Kanan that we know. We don't have this is the woman show. This is right here. Our main character is a female. Raising Kanan is still Kanan. So, oh, that just made me dawn on me that it's called Raising Kanan because she's raising Kanan. Oh, okay. Anyway, so what I'm saying is, this to me feels like it could be, if possible, the back door for a spinoff for them to be a female-led show. And I really like that idea. I like the fact that we have these women that are into the fold. Just it was one of those things that really stood out to me, even though I don't think it's going to last within this show because, again, we have people kind of working their own thing. Shanti is not to be trusted. I don't know what's going on with Claudia's girlfriend. She's like, I want to get in. My mama, she owns some clubs. So they're not matching up right now, but I still like this. Another thing that also stood up was the fact that we do have, oh, and also I did like the fact that she got her jewelry back. That to me, if you ever watch Sex and the City, the new one, and just like that, Carrie did that. There was a scene where it was a horrible, corny robbery with like, give me a jewelry in the middle of a fashion show thing. So it just gave me Sex and the City vibes. Which is why I really didn't like it. I thought it was really corny. You just come up to them, you put a little knife on them, you know, give me your jewelry. Don't say anything. Mwah. And then later on, you make a big scene to get it back. I just didn't like that fact. But what I did like, again, was the fact that we do have the Rainbow Coalition of drug dealers. I like that. I want to see how this is going to work. But I also want to see who's going to be the first one to realize that Tommy is just trying to move for himself? Because this can easily blow back terribly on Tommy when other people start realizing that, oh, you're getting rid of the competition because you want to be the big main one. So how will Miguel and the Serbs and everybody else retaliate? I don't like Miguel in this episode. I'm not liking how they're doing him, period. And I honestly think that they already showed the hand of how they're going to get rid of Miguel. Miguel, right now, it feels to me that Vic and Miguel are switched places. Miguel is acting like a boy and has to be told what to do. And you know how you put an idea in somebody's head when you make it think that it's their idea? That's what we're doing with this whole Serb thing. And I don't like that. The mother is able to figure out everything, but you're not smart enough to do that. So I just don't like what they're doing with him. And I think that his demise, they already showed how it's going to be. And it's with the diabetes and the medication. So I wonder if they purposely gave him the diabetes in order to be, that's how they're going to kill him off, by just not giving him the shot. And he dies. Because at this moment, right now, what is he doing? What is he here for? Ronti got rid of the Serbian distro. What is his purpose? It doesn't seem like any. And he doesn't at this moment seem like a threat. In the beginning, he seemed like he was, with the frozen hands and we smashing hands and we coming after people. But if you really look at it, it's petty. Sorry, it's little petty things. Oh, I didn't like the fact that you put your hands on my sister, so I'm going to smash your hands. That's little petty personal stuff. What major things that he did that got people's attention? And I can't think of one at this moment. So it just seems like he's just there to be there. And maybe his role is just the catalyst for Maria's situation. Because I don't see the whole point of him. Another thing that really kind of stood out to me was the fact that, I kind of mentioned that earlier, but I like the fact that, I don't think I liked anything else. Sorry. Today's a terrible day for me. That's just basically it, really. It was the fact that we had the drug team up. And I think the parole officer, I wonder if it's going to be, if he's going to kind of get back at Gennard for not wanting to denounce CBI right there in the public during the speech. Because remember, he had things written down, but he didn't act upon, he folded it up and he didn't act upon it. Remember, he just spoke from the heart, which was, if you really look at it, a very corny, unoriginal speech. But he did not denounce CBI. And to me, it did not give any kind of indication of I'm completely out of the drug game. It was a very surface, you know, change your life for the better, man. And you are not where you come from. And you can be the best. It was really, you know, that same notes that we've heard of 15,000 times before. It felt really kind of amateurish. But he did not denounce any CBI-ness. He really didn't stand out for me. He had a suit on and that was it. So I just wonder if the parole officer is going to get kind of angry. But to me, again, this just seemed like it was to serve two things. It was to serve us the fact that Vic is now becoming a man and Stacy just may lose this case. Other than that, it really, and we have, like I said, the Rainbow Coalition of Drug Dealers. That we all know is going to fall, but I like to see what's going to happen if they all work together right now. So that's really the big kind of takeaways that I had for this episode.
You got me laughing about the speech, because
it was terrible.
Well, I agree 1,000%. I'm glad you brought that up. Excellent takeaways, and I agree with your points as well, Dana. But I do have a question for the both of you, as well as the people that comment on this show, because you made me think about this again, Dana, when you go back to the club scene and the guy robbing Claudia. who the hell robs somebody and then stays in the club still where you can be seen again by potentially anybody there to kick him out? So this guy got some balls to do that. That's why he deserved to get his behind whooped.
This is why it kind of felt like a Female Avengers, maybe a backdoor pilot to another spinoff with women. Because it was so, when I'm comparing you to Sex in the City, and you're supposed to be power, where I'm supposed to take you seriously, we have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed like it was, you know, here's my little tiny knife. Give me your jewelry. You're being robbed. I'm going to stay in the club anyway. It's my drugs now. Who acts like that? Don't follow us.
That's ridiculous.
And then he said, don't follow us or we have you killed. And that's when I was like, oh, he's going to go. I didn't like that.
Yeah, I agree. It's little things like that I didn't like. It just felt too forced. Like I get that they wanted to show us, okay, you know, Shanti's, yeah, force, exactly. I get that they wanted us to show that Shanti's building trust with Claudia, but I feel like you could have went about it in a better way, more intelligent way, because I don't know, that type of writing feels like it's for a different audience. Like that's not what we're used to in power.
It was something out of something like the Disney Plus show. So my issue is that right now we have and I said this before, no show is immune to this, really. We're having a pacing problem where we're taking our steady time to get somewhere. Then it's like we're finally there, big major thing. But because we did it such later in the game, we're having to rush. Disney Plus show. We're having to rush to a conclusion. So all of a sudden, here's Ashanti was like the real good girlfriend and, you know, the boxing, and she had her thing that was going on. We knew of her presence. Then it's all of a sudden, I'm queen of the world. You're like, wait, what just happened? And then it's like, we're going to go against them. And then now I'm looking at, well, she looked like she's going to kill Gennard at any moment. Which is fine. But pacing wise, where did this come from? I'm confused. Now I know it's power and you have to, like, yeah.
I just was going to say, it came from the same writers that decide, let's rush this Tommy and Maria relationship where they are in love when really they are in lust. They are having sex. I wouldn't say that it's a love relationship yet, but we'll see what happens.
No. Remember, I think I love her. That was the last episode. I love her. I'm like, what? And another thing that I wanted to mention with Maria, and they spelled the name completely different, which threw me off because I'm dyslexic. She seems like she's in a telenovela while everybody else is in an American drama. Tommy, you don't know him again. He's gonna kill you. I dated this guy before and he's dead now.
Yeah.
He doesn't know about us. Oh. And I'm like, he's like, you know, don't worry about it. We fine. But no, you don't understand. He almost caught us. And she's hiding in the corner. Please don't let him see. So I'm just having a problem with pacing. And I'm having, it's screaming things that are too obvious to me. It's screaming, you know, we have innocent victims that we may not make it to the next season. So it's screaming, Maria has to go. If not Maria, then Miguel.
Miguel is
so darn weak.
Dana, yeah. you said something interesting in your takeaways that made me like think of something I would love to see. Like, so you mentioned the shot that, you know, the insulin that Miguel has to take for his diabetes. Like, wouldn't it be interesting if Maria spiked the shot and killed him? Like, she was the one to take him out. Like,
I wasn't even thinking of that. I was thinking more of the, remember the, oh shoot. Remember how Whatchamaface died, Kate? where you just don't do anything. You just don't give them a shot.
Kate died?
I'm confusing characters. Nope, I'm confusing characters. There was an episode. I say I am confusing characters.
I think you're talking about on the OG Power. You had the lawyer. What's the Ghost's lawyer? I forget the name. I can't think of the name.
Oh yeah.
How he basically got his wife. He killed his
Proctor.
Wife.
Proctor.
His ex. There you go.
Proctor. By not doing anything.
Yeah.
So Miguel's going into the diabetes thingy, right? And usually that's when you administer the shot. She doesn't administer it because you already showed me previously what happens. Remember, she kept elongating and taking yourself. And we had this conversation. He can't do it himself. Okay, that to me seems like that's how you get rid of Miguel, is to use that diabetes. I think they purposely put in the diabetes because that is how he dies. Not because, we have representation of illnesses. No, that's how he's going to go. That shot is not going to be administered. He's going to end up crawling on the floor for it. Can't get it, and then he dies.
But here comes grandma. They kind of already, like, I feel like they can't do that again because they already kind of did it where she neglected to give him the shot. Like, so it's like.
But to me, that seems like again, that's how they're going to do it.
Maybe.
That just seems like.
I guess so.
Grandma's not there to administer it. And grandma's at this point where it's like, you're not even a man. I should just let you die. So. I wonder.
Yeah. I do think there would be something poetic in Maria being the one to take him out, though. Like that could be.
I mean, he did kill a boyfriend. Every man. Yeah. I was weak. He's dead.
I just want to make a comment and say I like the idea of her taking him out because one thing we do know is that usually if she really likes Tommy. The person probably has to do something that they normally wouldn't do, something bad. So I don't mind the idea of her playing a role in him getting taken out because it would make sense. She needs to make a dark turn. But I don't know if they're going to do that. So, I mean, we have to see.
And even if you remove Tommy from the entire equation, her whole thing is, I want freedom. I want to be able to make my own choices and do my own thing. Right? She stated... Before, remember their argument was, but my career, and he's like, bitch, what career do you have? You work for me. Like right then and there, I'd have been like, well, you just gotta die. I ain't gonna give you your shot no more. It's in God's hands. Blessings. So that's what it feels like to me. In order for her to breathe, you have to get rid of Miguel. Now, granted, we haven't seen any of like him being extra like verbally abusive or anything to her to like really make this point, but it just feels like unless you're doing something with Miguel that's major, why is he here? I don't know.
Yeah. We'll let the people chime in on that one. Let us know what you think about that, people. But so let's get into some other questions. I don't have a whole lot, but I have a few here. So let's talk about Vic. So, you know, both of you guys kind of mentioned Vic and his role in the episode. Dana seems to like the trajectory that he's on. So I wanted to ask you guys, so with him killing Vargas, has Vic officially joined the dark side once again? Is he now back, you know, back in the game 100% and not a snitch anymore? You know, is he back in the underworld, you know, full time now? Or do you think he can go? Do you think we're going to see him in a room with Stacy again and her cussing him out? You know, are we going to see that scene again? Or is he pretty much going to, you know, go maybe disappear for a little bit, clear his head and get back into, you know, the street game and be CBI full time? Like, what do you see for him next now that he's killed Vargas and Tommy, you know, keep in mind, Tommy is already going to be suspicious of him now. you know, now that he's seen him with the cop, because even though he killed him, he still saw him talking to the cop. So Tommy is still going to be like watching him, and he's still going to be, you know, paranoid and suspicious. So what do you guys think about that? And I guess I'll go to Richard first. Go ahead, Rich.
Well, let me just say one thing to clarify what I made earlier. I actually think this is an interesting decision to put Vic in this situation. So I want to make that clear. But I do think that I'm very curious to see what the interaction is going to be like from here on out with Stacy. Because the whole thing I'm saying is that Stacy is aware that Vargas was put on to follow Vic. So the fact that Vargas is now going to be missing, she has to suspect that Vic knows what happened to Vargas. I mean, it just wouldn't make any kind of sense. That's why. So I want to see what happens in the next episode. But to answer your question, Gary, do I think that Vic has turned to the dark side? I don't necessarily think about. I don't think he has. Honestly, I mean, I think he's just doing what he wants to do because for the last this episode and the previous episode, he's just getting pressure to. We need intel on Tommy. I need his phone number. I need to know when he was born. You know, everything. This is all the information that Stacy needs. So obviously, when your back is against the wall, you have to respond. And in that moment, he did not want to look like he was a snitch, so he had to take out Vargas. All right, so I think that he, for the time being, Tommy will be still suspicious, but Tommy is like, okay, he did kill, was willing to kill the cop, great. But I think that, again, I think Stacy is in a lot of trouble now that one of her own is gone. So I would like to see how they respond to that in the next episode. You saw that Vargas also had a conversation with Vic where he tried to tell him before he had that wire. He said, well, you know, you can just turn it off, take it off, whenever. And he also made mention of the fact that he had a daughter. So I guess he wanted to try to basically put it in Vic's mind that, yes, you know, I am a father, you know, be somewhat sympathetic toward him. And I will be curious to see if Vic is going to think about that or struggle with that in the next episode. I don't personally think he is because he already has enough on his plate. But we'll see what happens. That's all I can say for now because I'm not really sure where they're going. But I am glad that they made this decision because I said last week they need to kill this character off the show. Now, after this, I don't think the character is going anywhere yet because clearly he is on the other side that, you know, they're trying to stop. So let's see where they're going from here, but we'll see.
Yeah, he could have bought himself some time now. You know, maybe he's going to be in the show a bit longer because, you know, now he's killed a cop. He's kind of, you know, his street cred kind of went up, you know. so he can stay around a bit longer. But Dana, what do you think about Vic? What's next for him? Is he kind of back on the underworld, or is he gonna continue snitching?
No, here's the thing. It works. There are multiple different avenues. We have to take in consideration what Vic wants. Vic wants to get out the game completely. Remember, it was, I want revenge against my sister, and I don't want this no more. Gloria, I am coming to you, baby. Right? So he realized that he's now in deeper than what he thought he was before. Because now he has to kill a cop, and we have to navigate that. So I really do feel that Vic is going to be fine. Because like I stated earlier, he can easily pin it on Tommy. This all falls back on Tommy. Yes, he pulled the trigger, but Tommy made him pull the trigger. Or he could just straight up lie and say Tommy was the one who did it. This also earned some street cred because now, remember, he was looking a little janky because he kept asking those questions and people are like, why are you asking questions? Remember, they kept saying, you really do see all. They kept saying that. It was different characters who said that as well. So they know, like, you know, that to me is suspicious behavior. The white boy in the corner always is looking, and it ain't Tommy this time. So to me, it felt like this will kind of clear him in the streets a little bit for give him breathing room because, oh, well, he went and killed not just a cop. He killed, you know, one of the possible agents, people who was looking in on an investigation because Tommy knows that he kept bringing up FBI. I know they're trailing me. I know they're looking for me. He kept saying that. So that right there, my whole thing is I hope Tommy does not become lazy. And I'd have never seen that with Tommy right now in terms of, well, he killed the guy, so he's not working for anyone else. I still hope he keeps that in the back of his head and that we return to that later. Be like, well, we all know that you was the one who did this and this and this. And just killing that cop may have given you breathing room, but it's not going to save your day. So there are multiple different things that I really think can all work for him. You know, and I don't think anytime anyone says, this is my last job, remember that those movies? I want to get out, but this is that last job. They always get pulled back in and they always end up staying. So that's where I think Vic is at this moment. Will he ever get out? Probably, but not at this moment. And I do believe that this kind of, if played correctly, could hurt Stacy's case. Not just that. Take Stacy's actions and her personality this entire time, where you have even her own officer saying, you're going too fast, right? So with her accelerating and you're wearing this and we want that, we want a phone number for this, she's causing cops to be murdered. She's causing her own partners to lose their life because of her recklessness. And that was even the words of that lady that came and see her. Saw her, you know, what is going on? So I think that Stacy at this moment could probably get replaced. Where's her ex-husband, by the way? But Stacy at this moment could be replaced by the ex-husband. She could be replaced by the ex-husband. But I don't see this either way going well for Stacy. So Stacy has a bigger problem than Vic does. And once the cops start telling you about their kids, you already know they're going to die. So, rest in peace. We've been new.
Yeah, I do agree. I think it's going to fall back on Stacy in a big way for trying to, you know, rush things and for being so aggressive to get Tommy Egan and putting her people in the line of fire like that. Some of the blame is definitely going to fall on her shoulders. Tommy and Vic are kind of professional criminals, I guess. So they would have got rid of the murder weapon. So they're going to have to do some police work to, you know, figure out who exactly did this, I guess. But they're going to have the suspicion that it was related to Tommy because that's who Vargas was tailing. But it's not as easy as them going to arrest, you know, Vic and Tommy because they have to have the evidence. So I think
Vic sorry.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, for the record, Vic was never a professional. Even his father kept reminding him how dumb he was. And his dad never lied, he was dumb. Vic has never been a professional. Convince him.
Oh yeah, you could make that argument. Vic wasn't he wasn't, because now I'm remembering I'm remembering the convenience store scene earlier on this season. That was very reckless of him. So yeah, you're right. Yeah, herpes. Use protection, people. But yeah, yeah, so I don't know. I'm really curious because, you know, when we do these podcasts, we haven't seen the trailer yet, but I'm really curious to see what the trailer is going to be for episode 8, because I want to know what the direction is going to be now, you know, after what happened in this episode. So I will be looking out for that trailer once the episode does drop. But yeah, man, I don't know what's next for Vic, because it's very hard to predict at this point. They could do anything. But I do think the character could stick around for longer, because I was expecting him to die at the end of the season, maybe. But now I think he's going to stick around. So we'll see. Go ahead.
No, I was going to just say, in a weird way, this episode kind of explained why the characters will continue in the next season and will probably have their own things to deal with that is important to the show overall. So I know you guys didn't like it so much, but I did not have an issue with that, because it just seems like, you know, it gave everyone purpose.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there was purpose for some characters, especially like Shanti and stuff. But one character we do have to talk about, the main character, Tommy. So the next question I want to ask is, so we see that, you know, Tommy has kind of orchestrated the situation where he's doing sort of a hostile takeover of the map. And he's kind of manipulated this situation where, you know, he put it in Miguel's ear that the cartel needs to get away from the Serbs and everything. And then Miguel went to Che, and, you know, they had that conversation. And then Che actually met with Mirkovic and told him, you know, he doesn't like how he's moving. And he, you know, took the products from him. So now they're not messing with the Serbs anymore. And I guess this makes the Serbs a little vulnerable, a little weak, because now they don't have the product. They might have another pipeline somewhere where they can get something. But I guess the idea that they're pushing is that now the Serbs are kind of in a weak spot, and they can kind of start to take over their territory. And, you know, that's why Tommy met with the Puerto Ricans to try and take over theirs, you know, to get them in the coalition, basically. So the question I wanted to ask is, do you see Tommy possibly taking out the Serbs now? Like, is he going to get on the offense, you know, because he's been playing defense a little bit after the project shooting? Is he going to get on the offense now and wipe out the Serbs finally and kill Mirkovic? So do you see that possibly happening? So go ahead, Dana. What do you think?
Yes, indeed. But I don't think that it's going to go down the way everyone expects. Because here we have this. Tommy has basically stated this season, well, this episode, he does not want them to, you know, the CBI to retaliate. Remember, people are very trigger happy. And you blew up a whole building complex. I think that that is enough to get people's eyes on you and to draw that negative attention. So the Serbs could be wiped out very easily, but who is to say that it's even going to be Tommy, let alone the CBI? You blew up a whole project complex. There are more people in gangs and everything else and how it's connected that you don't even have to worry about CBI. Everyone is coming for you at this point. So who is to say that it's him? They named several other different... Now, granted, it's not like, you know, they got attacked by the Serbs, but there were numerous different groups that were named that maybe they could take them out for Tommy or someone else. I know the goal right now at this moment is to let the Serbs, you know, just sit and stew and to starve them out. But I don't see this lasting very long. They can retaliate again, but if they retaliate again, this is going to cause a huge fallout and a huge war. There was a moment when they met at that, remember the train scene, was like, let's meet in public. So, you know, I'm trying to kill us and I tried to kill you. I thought we was going to get a whole John Wick situation. I got excited when I saw a train. I was like, yes. But that did not happen. Very disappointed. But I do think that they're going to try to retaliate, and it's not going to work out very well for them. I just don't know who is going to be the ones that take out the Serbs. I don't see them going quietly into that good night. And it really doesn't make any sense to build up these people as such big forces who, you know, does drive-bys and blows up buildings, to just have them, you know, not have anything at the end and to just go away and we never see them again after this season. So the big question is, who's going to take them out? I don't know. Or it could be some way, really thinking out of the box here, where they tie it up and end up blaming the Serbs for this whole situation with the cops. And then that's how Tommy gets them off the back, off his back. And Vic, you know, gets that case off of him. So they could be the fall guys in this situation if you can't get Tommy. They kept saying, Tommy's really smart. Tommy's elusive. Tommy, we can't get him. He already spotted us. Blame it on the Serbs. And then that's how you get rid of it. It's the only thing I can think of. I mean, he blew up a whole building, and the Department of Justice literally came down there angry, right? Vic, remember they stated Vic's information lines up. It was the Serbs. They stated that. What's stopping the Department of Justice from saying, nope, we want to focus on the Serbs instead, and we're going to arrest them all? The end.
Yeah, you make a good point. That's something they could do. I mean, at this point, you know, with power rioting, anything can happen. You know, they could take it any way they want to. But yeah, that could be something smart to do. You know, maybe plant the weapon with the Serbs or something, and you know, get Vic to tell them, oh, it was the Serbs. You know.
He already told them. He already told them.
Yeah, but I mean, like, for Vargas, nothing. for Vargas's murder, you know.
Oh.
So
maybe. I mean, the thing is, with negotiation, you have to let something go in order to get something else, right? No one's going to get everything that they want when it comes to negotiation. So Stacey may not be able to get her Tommy. The Department of Justice is not like, where's Tommy? That's all Stacey. The Department of Justice is like, they came down there. What's going on with the Crimson Project? They stated this. They made a big deal out of this. So maybe for them, just getting that is enough. And Stacey's all miserable and she turns into Angela. Who knows? Or someone else. Yeah. She becomes the white boy who got killed. And the other one, the other power, who was the original power dude. She becomes Sax. She becomes Sax. Super Sax.
Yeah. Nah, I don't want that. But yeah, framing the Serbs could be a good angle. But Rich, what do you think about this? Like, what do you think? So that the original question was, you know, will Tommy kind of go on the offense and try to wipe out the Serbs now that he's kind of gained some power with the coalition? Or, you know, and you can also respond to what Dane was saying about, you know, possibly framing the Serbs and stuff.
So as a viewer of the show and somebody that also lived in the Crimson Projects, no, there must be retaliation. There needs to be some blood boiling in the streets. Now, the framing, I think that's a great idea. I don't think they're going to do that because they want this to be an action-oriented end to the season. So at some point, I think there is going to be another shootout between Tommy and the Serbs. But the thing is, why this is interesting is because obviously Tommy told the people in this episode, in the coalition, we cannot retaliate because we need the bodies to move the product. So clearly, he like Gary mentioned, they could easily get DSD, that group, to get involved. But again, the leader in that group has beef with Miguel. And as Miguel said in this episode, he actually was going to approach them about a deal. But Tommy has already beat him to the punch and approached them now. So this is why I said I want to see what happens in the next episode. As Gary mentioned, we don't see the trailers ahead of time. So I have no idea what's going to happen. Obviously, when we see the trailer, there'll be a lot more to say. But to answer the question, I personally, by the end of this season, like I said, Mirkovich, they need to get rid of this character. There's no reason why he should still be in this show. Now he is the main adversary. Okay. So I kind of feel like at some point, you got to get rid of this guy. You know, and obviously, there'll be questions about, well, who was the next person for Tommy to face off against? They can work on that. It's not going to be a problem figuring out who that could be.
The Jamaican.
Hey, that's possible. that's very possible. But I feel by the end of this season that some of these storylines have to come to some type of end, whether it's they get rid of the Serbs or Tommy fulfills the request that was made at the start of the season to get rid of Claudia. One of those storylines needs to end this season. That's just my opinion. Because it shouldn't be dragging on. Because when we saw the first episode and, you know, Tommy had that message of Liliana, the voice saying, avenge me, Tommy, avenge me, Tommy. So if the season doesn't end with him avenging her in some way, shape, or form, the season is a waste. Because why would they even have that scene in the first place? That's just my opinion. So one of those storylines needs to come to an end, though. That's just my opinion. And when I say coming to an end, I mean the Serb conflict can continue, but Mirkovich, this guy needs to go. I'm tired of seeing this guy as a quote-unquote adversary again for Tommy. So, but we'll see what happens because, again, there's a lot of complexities to the storyline right now. The fact that the group that they did business with in this episode, DSD, I do like what Tommy said, that they can get involved in this as well. But the problem is that Miguel wanted to also talk to them about doing business. And that guy doesn't like Miguel. So I kind of feel like there's going to be a confrontation between Miguel and that guy in maybe the next episode. Because I think we could see that coming, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Real quick, Dana, and I'll let you go. But yeah, I agree. Mirkovich needs to go because he is like the most generic mob boss there is in the show. Even Milan. Remember Milan, from the old Power. He was way more interesting than Mirkovich was. So they need to.
I agree.
They need to just hurry up and kill Mirkovich. But Dana, what was you gonna say?
My whole thing is, I like the Serbs because without the Serbs, we have not had any action. I mean, they came with literal guns and rockets blazing this season. Granted, we have the split of the CBI and the other part of the CBI is acting all reckless and a hot mess. But the Serbs really kind of bought it. The issue is this. If you get rid of Mirkovich, do you introduce a new boss, baby, that is part of the Serbs? Or do you just get rid of the Serbs altogether? That's what I'm wondering. Because Mirkovich, from my understanding, kind of called all the shots, including the Crimson Projects, including the other drive-bys and the other situationships that everyone was in through. So without him, what happens to them? My problem is we have had kind of adversaries come in here that were supposed to be big and bad, Four Horsemen, the Red Apocalypse. And it's just kind of like nothing. I think what's missing is we need that threat, that ominous threat that we really feel like it's hard to get rid of and it's hard to shake. Mirkovich is a terrible front man, but the Serbs provided that threat. And so I wonder, where do we go from here? Do they disappear for like two seasons and then they come back better than ever with a new guy who's like, you know, kill them all, and it causes even more problems? I don't know. Everything else that we're dealing with is just petty little gangland stuff, in all honesty. Do you really want a season of the Rainbow Coalition working together and everything's being easy breezy? And we have this, you know, group of super friends and all female Avengers without there being some kind of threat, because they're all interconnected. So I'm just wondering, we got rid of Dahlia when we really didn't have to. That, to me, I thought that was something that could easily usher in. We were sitting there like, and then Dahlia's going to come to New York, and people are going to come and flock in, and then that's how we get Tariq. And oh my gosh, it's going to be amazing. It was like, I released Dahlia to the internet, and that's it. I was very upset about that. We had JP was involved. He was all chemerizing and being a little chemist. I'm like, yes, black chemistry. And now it just died. And we really don't have anything pushing the narrative forward. Granted, yay, Tommy wants to be the main distro. He kind of stated that in the freaking plot line, you know, when you get the official plot line of the series in season one. Great. Okay, but where's the adversary? To me, it just seems like we're coming in and Tommy's getting what he wants and it's a little bit too easy. And that's what I don't want for the show, for it to be a little bit too easy. Here comes this random white guy bustling his way in through Chicago, a whole different state, and I'm going to be the main distro. Okay, I want to see you fight for that. I haven't seen any, you know, that big, gritty, one-on-one kind of fight where Tommy has to use his brains. And then we have to get the old Tommy back. We saw one little glimpse of old Tommy. But we need that old Tommy back. Well, he really has to get nitty and gritty. We haven't had that. And I, Rainbow Coalition, that's great. But do we want that as a storyline? So I just wonder, in general, where are we going? And I done lost the plot of what the question even was in the beginning.
Oh, it's okay. We already kind of answered it anyway. But I think Rich wanted to respond. So go ahead, Rich.
I just want to make a quick comment. Those were good thoughts, Dana. I just going to also add the other thing interesting about this coalition thing is that obviously they made it clear we don't want nobody retaliating. We're going to do this our way. But there's one individual that was not there when they had this meeting, and that's Big Smurf, because obviously he is recovering from the attack that happened last week, right? So I want to see, because somebody is going to retaliate. They're not going. I kind of feel like that's coming. So I wonder if that's who ultimately makes that decision, because we know that, like I said last week, they did not communicate with him to give him any warning that now they need to be cautious of the Serbs, and then that attack happens all of a sudden. So I want to see what happens, because he wasn't there when, you know, and it stood out to me that he wasn't there when they had that meeting. So I want to see where they're going with that, if there is, because somebody is definitely going to do something. I just want to know who it is that's going to start something up, because it's coming, and we'll probably find out next week.
Yeah, I'm wondering, are the Serbs going to get personal on Tommy? Because if you notice, in this episode, we didn't see Kate or JP or anything. So I'm wondering, you know, could they be in danger? Like, because if Mirkovich starts to take it personal, because he made it clear when he spoke to Shay that he had a problem with Tommy, and you know he doesn't want to mess with this guy, and the fact that Miguel is messing with him makes him not want to, you know, mess with this dude too. So he really despises Tommy at this moment. So like, he might take it up a notch because he blew up the whole project already. And now Tommy's kind of, you know, he's overstepping by getting the Puerto Ricans on his side in the coalition and cutting off his supply. So Mirkovich might try and take it like personal on Tommy. And I mean, you could say maybe he doesn't know Tommy's family, but I mean, in this episode, Miguel mysteriously knew where Tommy lived, you know, like Rich said. So I mean, it's not far-fetched.
Well,
go ahead.
Go ahead, Dana.
I never had an issue with that, because remember, they kept saying there's eyes on Tommy. Who's this, again, random white boy, bursts his way through Chicago. We're going to at least find out what warehouse he's at. To me, that never bothered me.
Yeah, so based on that, well, you know, based on that logic, Mirkovich could absolutely find out where JP works, the bar that he works at.
But here's the thing. Mirkovich already knows where Tommy lives, because that happened last season when they were outside his apartment and when Liliana got shot. So they know where he's at. But what I was going to say is, you might have already answered the question now, Gary, as to what happens with Maria, because Mirkovich could go after Maria and maybe even kill her. Then now it's personal, because Miguel already said that he was not going to do anything to them. And I like how when he had that conversation with Shay, he's like, they did all this stuff to me. I didn't do anything to them. Now I have to take action. That's why I want to see what happens in the next episode.
Go ahead, Dana. You're muted.
Fuck, Jesus. I had a whole monologue. I was saying, Miguel could be the one to screw it up for everyone. And then that's how Miguel has to go. Because if Miguel, you know, you brought up the speech, I didn't do anything. I'm not a man. And grandma saying, you know, you ain't no man. You sure ain't my husband. You know, he is going to retaliate, which could, again, screw up the Rainbow Coalition situation. And then everyone has to go against him. So that's how we get rid of Miguel, even though I want my whole diabetes Shakespearean theme. But that's how he could go. And then that's also how you get rid of the Serbs. So, two for one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's totally possible. Rich, I think you had another comment as well.
Oh, no, I just was going to ask you, Gary, since, you know, obviously, well, yeah, you can answer this well, Dana. Do you, are you okay with them deciding not to retaliate, or does it feel like they're just holding this off until the end of the season? Okay, now we must retaliate, and then there's a big shootout that's coming. What do y'all think about that?
Yeah, see, I'm in two minds about it, because I feel like the traditional Tommy would have wanted to clap back right away, but like, yep. I think they're just holding off on it for story building purposes, I guess. Like, they want to do it at the right time, maybe. So I think that's why. Like, I think that they're waiting to kind of set it up a bit more before we see like the final battle or whatever it's going to be. So yeah, I think that's really what it is. But old Tommy, he would have been on smoke instantly. Like, he would have been, you know, he would have been like bugging Ghost, like, yo, Ghost, we gotta get them right now. Like, we need to go over there, you know, get some bazookas, some grenade launchers, like, you know, Grand Theft Auto style, you know. So yeah, but Dana, what do you think? Like, you're muted again.
I like it and I don't like it, for the simple fact that this, I don't want Tommy to be the same Tommy after, what have we been, 20 years of Tommy? I want that growth and I want that change. I want that patience. To me, that's fine and good. I have no issues with that. But at the same time, again, this is why it has, something personal has to happen. I don't think anything personal has happened to her to get the old Tommy activated. Now, if you kill his mama, if you kill JP, if you find out where Darnell is staying, cool. Then we bring back the old Tommy. We bring back the shooting with the whole bazooka and everything else, grenade launches, drones flying, people dying at every 2 seconds. That's how we get the old Tommy back. But nothing personally has happened to him. So therefore, he has the privilege to say, wait, let's starve them out. And then this brings up my other thing. Who is going to be the one who doesn't listen to Tommy to go after the Serbs and start another war and bloodbath all over again? Or maybe they're successful. But it's not going to be Tommy. So it could be anyone. It could be anyone. Or again, you can smartly do it where you pin it on the Serbs and get them taken out by the feds. So that to me seems to work better than to have somebody else go and take them out.
Yeah. Yeah. I think most people want the shootout because they might think it's more exciting than Mirkovich just getting arrested. But hey, I mean, I do think either way we're going to get some sort of action in the next few episodes. So.
Why then introduce Lori Lewis? Why talk about the DOJ? Stacey has a boss. Stacey has given a leash and small budgets, and they said, we don't really care about the money, but we need a rest. We need something. You can't get Tommy disturbed. Stacey may not like it, but it's not Stacey's call. Stacey is not the boss. So that's the only way. And Vic did what he said he was going to do in terms of, I'm going to get you evidence. It just wasn't on Tommy like you wanted. But we got who got the projects.
Yeah. No, it's definitely possible. You know, I'm not saying that it's impossible. I do think that could be a possible thing that happens with the Serbs getting locked up. But I think most people do want to see that clapback happen at some point. Even if it's a failed clapback, we want to see, you know, some guns and some retaliation. But that brings me to the next question. So usually in power, historically, we get something big that happens, usually in episode 5 and usually in episode 8. And then, you know, the finale also, you know, next week, or I don't know if there's a break after this one, but in episode 8, what big event could we possibly get in that episode? And that's why I can't wait to see the trailer also, because usually episode 8, something significant happens. You know, in the previous season of Ghost, that was when Cooper Sax got taken out. If I recall correctly, Kanan died in episode 8, in Powers season 5, I think. So yeah, like usually something big happens in episode 8 in Power. So like, I have a few scenarios here. You guys can let me know which one you think has a higher probability of happening in the next episode, or you can add on your own, you know, that's fine too. So the scenarios I have that could possibly happen in episode 8, you know, the first one is Miguel finds out about Maria and Tommy sleeping with each other, right? That's number one. Number two, Mirkovich dies. You know, maybe Tommy and CBI take him out. Maybe that clapback happens, you know. Number three is Jannard relapses. So that's another one. The next one is Vic is exposed as a snitch. You know, so like everybody finds out that he's snitching and his life is in danger officially. So which one of these big events do you think could happen in episode 8? Or if you have, you know, something else that you think is more appropriate or could happen in episode 8, you can add that onto it. So I'm going to go to Richard first. Like, which one of these events has a higher probability of happening next week?
Well, I'm going to provide a little bit of information, because you see, the synopsis for episode 8 has already been released, as well as the title. Oh. So let me read this real quick. The title of the episode is called Dead Reckoning. Okay. So this is the description. Tommy makes bold moves to connect CBI directly with the cartel as he hustles to stay ahead of the many adversaries out for his blood. Then it says, Diamond is forced to make a decision that has dire consequences. So, based off of that, I think Diamond is going to have some issues with his correctional officer female friend in the next episode. Or it could be something with Jannard, because we already know Jannard is a corner boy. This means that he is in a very vulnerable position where he's easily able to get access to drugs. That's not a good situation. So we'll see what happens. But one thing I do want to mention, Gary, because you asked if there's a break. There is a break after this episode. And it just so happens that episode 9 is titled No Loose Ends. So a lot of stuff is going to happen in that episode. All right. That's the episode where I expect some people to get killed. But I like all the stuff that you said for the next week. I don't think Mirkovich is going to get killed yet, though. I think they're going to hold that off a little bit longer. But it will happen at some point before the season is over. But yeah, something. So obviously, based on the description, something is going to happen with Diamond. And I do think it's very possible that Miguel finds out about Maria and Tommy in the next episode. He needs to find that out. And what's going to happen is, because he's going to have that meeting with DSD in the next episode and find out, oh, Tommy has already, they're already working with Tommy. At the same time he finds out about that betrayal will be when he also finds out about Maria. That's probably what they're going to do. And it's going to be too much for him to deal with, and now he's going to be angry and be ready to hurt Tommy in episode 9. That's my guess, but let's see what happens.
No, that's a good scenario, actually, where he finds out at the same time. But yeah, that's a very intriguing synopsis that you read there, so thanks for adding that. I definitely think something with Jannard could happen, you know, with Diamond. And then also, like you mentioned before in a previous episode, that CO thing has to kind of be a thing as well, because I think there was some things that were kind of, we haven't seen in a while, because I know there was that other dude that was in the jail that they had to work with now. And there was the Rojas as well. So I think we're kind of due to see what's going on with that storyline as well. Especially as CBI expands, like, these guys probably aren't going to be happy about that. So,
but yeah. By the way, a quick comment to make, that guy, King Kilo, you're talking about, he actually is the leader of the RDs. So there is something is going to happen, because him and Diamond decided to form this coalition. There's going to definitely be some issues. It's just a matter of who is going to be the one that starts something, but it's coming. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah, definitely. So Dana, what do you think has the higher probability of happening? And I'll just say the scenarios again. And of course, you can add on your own too. So the first one was Miguel finds out about Maria. Or second one was Mirkovic dies. Third one was Gennard relapses. And fifth one was Vic exposed as a snitch. So what do you think about those?
Here's the thing. I would love for Miguel to find out about Maria. But the fact that Shanti said no, and Gennard seems to be listening to Shanti. So unless something is like, you know, stop listening to these women and be a man, I think that he's going to not say anything about Miguel. Or he could kind of like, you know how you talk to somebody, but you do that double talk where you talking about something, but you're not talking about what you think you're talking about, but it's about something else. So I think he could let him know without letting him know that he knows that he's with Maria. So that could be a thing there where it doesn't necessarily lead to death, but Tommy knows that he knows without saying that he knows, because nobody knows, because Shanti, right? Another thing that I wanted to bring up is the fact that, remember when the correctional officer, the PO guy, or whatever you want to call him, came to Diamond and said, it's time for your annual P thing, right? And he said to him, this is how we got into him speaking at the event, the fundraiser. He stated to him, I've never seen someone come back after jail and they're still clean and involved with you, there's no drugs or anything. I wonder if Diamond is going to have to do something, either involving his brother with the drug situation in terms of staying clean and not being found out that way, and also with staying clean, or if Gennard gets, I don't know, if he gets sloppy and there's drugs in the thing where the PO or CO or whatever O you call him somehow starts picking up that something is not right. Because the fact that he was like, oh, you're so clean and you're so this and this. I wonder how long that clean, I know he met the drug test, but overall he was saying, you know, your life is clean. And we all know that it's not. So I wonder if he gets found out that way as well. Not because of him, because he is doing everything on the straight and narrow, and he's, you know, he's doing his dirty, but he's doing his dirty clean. Gennard, on the other hand, is doing dirty, sloppy. So I wonder if that's going to get his attention and he's going to start investigating things more. We still have the missing Seamus. Well, that was never brought up again. So I wonder what's going to happen with that. And another thing that I wanted to talk about that I completely forgot is Estrada. Estrada could actually be the one that is the one that could replace Miguel. We already know he's the boss, but he's the behind the scenes guy. I wonder if he's going to step forward now and things are really going to start to get a little stinky. And if that means Miguel is going to die, because at this moment, there's just no purpose for him. So I would wonder.
Oh, no, those are excellent thoughts, Dana. I was going to say, because you mentioned this prior in our chat. I think that the answer to your question about the CEO finding out something is up with Diamond would be if Leon was to get killed. Because you see the bond that they have Leon building with Diamond and his mom. So obviously, if something happens to Leon, you and I, we said this in a couple episodes ago, that character's probably going to get killed. So when something happens to him, that's going to be the catalyst to say, oh, something's up with Diamond, because he was trying to teach him how to box. You know, he's an influence on him. So is he somehow responsible for what ends up happening to him when he does get killed?
But here's what I was thinking, because I'm watching the show and I'm like, I'm just counting down the hours. One of this boy dying. I thought they was going to do a drive-by and he was going to get, when he said, I'm going for shaved ice. I was like, well, he's dead. Rest in peace. I hope you enjoy that water. It's just too on the nose and anything. I don't trust happiness. So yeah. I don't trust good situations. I'm Maria in this regard. He's going to die. Don't talk to me. That's what I'm. That's me. So that boy is going to get got. And then remember, we always need that innocent victim. And granted, we've had a bunch of innocent victims, but we need that innocent victim that's tied into the story. And this is how I think we get Jannard. Jannard, yay for people who want to stay clean, but that is not my show. Give me some bubbles action. Even Bubble didn't stay clean all the time. I'm a bubble from why. I need something to happen to Diamond that makes him Diamond, right? So if it's killing Leon in some kind of retaliation, if it's killing that, don't forget that mama. I'm good with her dying too. But I have to have that connection to make Jannard really come out and to really be like, roar, hear me roar again. And then, you know, the PO is like, ooh, snap, it's going down. I knew it. But that's the only thing that I can think of. It's either Maria or it has to be Leon. It could be both. I'm good with both. Get Tommy angry and get Diamond angry. So that boy is definitely dying. But in terms of getting the Jannard to really come and to strike back, that's what we need. And then again, Estrada's the wild card that nobody's talking about.
No, you know what? That does make a lot of sense. Like, I could see something very tragic happening because Diamond's life is going too well right now. You know, he's almost having his parole meeting now to determine if he needs to stay on parole and stuff. And he's sleeping with Leon's mom and he's a good influence on Leon's life. So things are going too well for him. You know, the CBI, he's got his brother back, kind of. You know, so it's going a bit too well for him. So I think if there was some kind of, you know, shootout or, you know, Leon's getting a haircut at the barbershop and the Serbs roll up and shoot the place, you know, like something like that, you know, could be very tragic for him. And it could, I want to see how that would impact his character and change him. So go ahead, Rich.
By the way, that is the personal thing. You said you want something personal to happen to one of these characters like Tommy. Well, if somebody did shoot up that barbershop, that would be a very personal attack because there's innocent bystanders in there getting killed too. That would be very bad. So yeah, that's a good prediction, I would say. We have to see if that's the path they're going down.
And don't forget the bar that Tommy gave JP is in Tommy's name.
Oh, yeah.
So, we coming after Tommy, but JP ends up getting got.
So, oh, yeah, the bar. That works. You're right.
Too. The bar that we have never, that's another thing that I want to say is a pet peeve. You mentioned things that we never see. Take me into the bar.
Oh, no, we saw it one time.
Have we been in the bar?
One time. Yeah.
We saw Gloria's bar more than we saw JP's bar, and that's his brother.
Yeah, they had a scene where he was in the bar and you saw him in there. This was after they already purchased it. But I was like, damn, how the hell JP already got customers in the bar? That's a hell of a turnaround. Some good marketing, I guess.
That's right. That's when he said that the old Darnell can work in the bar too. Give me my bar. Yeah. We are seeing everything else from Chicago, but not the bar.
Yep.
that's powerful. You things progress very fast in this show. So that's how it is. But yeah, those are all the questions I had. So let's get a round of final thoughts and then we'll wrap this up. So I kind of said everything I wanted to say. The only thing was, you know, Kate and JP were absent. I want to know what's going on with Kate because we saw she relapsed. So I want to know, you know, what happened to her. She kind of went missing as well, because remember, JP was wondering where she was and Tommy wasn't concerned. So, you know, I want to know what's up with that. Like, could it be that she went back to New York? You know, maybe she went home. So who knows? But yeah, so that's the only thing I have. And what about you, Rich? Do you have any final thoughts?
Oh, no, my final thoughts is very interested to see what happens in the next episode. Obviously had a few critiques about this episode, but I'm still interested to see what's going to happen and how this season is going to wrap up. So looking forward to us having our next discussion on episode 8.
Indeed, looking forward to it also. And Dana, what are your final thoughts?
My thoughts was that it was okay of an episode. I did like the little tidbits of knowledge that they dropped. For example, don't make someone feel like they're not a leader when they're in the, you know, when dealing with business. I like there was little tiny little nuggets that Tommy said, then Shanti said. So it was cute. My other thing that I'm kind of slightly wondering about is, where does this all fit in on when Tommy went to New York and Tariq went to go visit Kate? Because did that pass already? Because Kate is relapsed. She's not clean. So unless she's stayed clean after that one time of relapse, are we still owed that? Did it already happen? Do we just not exclude it in the show?
I don't think it's happened yet. But I guess we'll have to get some answers as they get to the end of the season. I have no idea. I don't think it's happened yet, though, in the timeline.
Okay. Another thing I did like was the fact that we mentioned parts of Chicago, Brighton Park, Little Village, North of Lawndale, Garfield Park, West Garfield Park, and parts of Austin. We got that part in there. I wonder if we get to see it. Again, we're throwing in a lot of information with only 3 more episodes left, so I don't know if we're going to get to see everything. But I do like seeing. I liked that we saw the Chicago train. That was very nice. I was like, we're in D.C. all of a sudden? Nope, that's Chicago, and y'all have trains. Very nice. And your stations sometimes look better than New York. Our MTA system sucks. So, yay for Chicago and trains. So I really did like that part. Jannard going through the withdrawal symptoms, I really did like that. I wanted him to struggle just a little bit more. I know everyone is different with their withdrawal. But like, just to see him suffer just a little bit more would have been interesting. But he seemed to be perfectly fine and clean. So is he done is what I'm really wondering with that situation, which is just like a little thing. And then like, hey, I tried it one time. It was a hobby. And now I'm clean again. So I did like that. The boy is definitely dying. Do something with Claudia and the women. That's not corny, because that was giving me a little Disney Plus vibes. And I do... just overall, like what they're doing with Tommy, like I stated before. And then my thing is I do want to see Tommy struggle. We're getting to, I don't want Tommy to be complacent. I want to see some Tommy struggling. I want to see them, you know, no, we're not going to listen to you. No, you're not going to just barge in. Your ideas and your thoughts are actually stupid. So let me see if we get to that. I don't want anything to come really easy to him. So, yeah, that's just my thing overall. Just don't make Tommy become untouchable. I don't want him to be a superhero. I want him to things not work out. And I need some people dying. So, yay. Let's go on.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. But I do think we're seeing more depth to Tommy this season so far. But I agree. I don't want them to slip back into the untouchable Tommy all the way. I want to see, you know, more layers of him. So, yeah. Agreed. But for now, that is going to be it for this recap. We will be back, I guess, in 2 weeks because, you know, there's a break after this episode, apparently. So we'll be back in two weeks. Oh, go ahead, Rich.
Oh, no, I think it's the next episode. There's a break after the next episode.
After episode eight.
Okay. Yeah.
Cool. So, yeah, we will be back next week. I apologize. We'll be back next week to cover episode 8. And, yeah, in the meantime, everybody take care of yourself. You know, stay healthy and, you know, leave your comments. I can't wait to read them. And we'll see you next time. Peace out.